Time, I would like to call this meeting to order. I would like to note that one of our board members is missing at the table tonight. However, Mrs. Harmon is out of state on the West Coast attending a law conference, but I believe she is with us via telephone. Ms. Harmon, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Ms. Harmon will be participating with us as a result of modern day technology. Would like to report to our audience that the members of the Board of Education just completed an executive session on property negotiation and the superintendent's evaluation, which began at 5 p.m. I would like to welcome all of you to the boardroom tonight. Your attendance is appreciated. We look forward to respectful discourse here in the boardroom as we each engage in tonight's work. At this time, would you please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag Thank you. Helen, could we have an attendance roll call, please?
Ms. Harmon.
Here.
Ms. LaSalle.
Here.
Mr. Mitchell.
Here.
Mr. Rupert.
Here.
Ms. Stevens.
Here.
All board members are present. Is there a motion to approve tonight's meeting agenda?
Mr. Mitchell, I move that the Board of Education approves the agenda for the regular business meeting of October 5th, 2017 as presented.
I second.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the agenda. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Ms. Harmon?
Yes.
Ms. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yes.
Mr. Rupert?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
We'll move now to the first item on our agenda, one of our board's favorite agenda items, which is honors, recognition, and school reports. At this time, I think Ms. LaSalle is up with some recognition.
Yes, I am. Tonight, I am pleased to recognize Everett Middle School for their award of the $100,000 Don't Quit Fitness Center Grant from the National Foundation for Governors Fitness Councils. Would Everett Middle School Principal Jeff Gomez and Everett Middle School teacher Brad Hull and all the wonderful, if you brought any kids along, bring them up to the front of the boardroom, please. Excellent, excellent. This morning, Everett had a ribbon-cutting ceremony with Governor Hickenlooper and other dignitaries to celebrate receiving this prestigious award to encourage lifelong health and fitness habits. Everett Middle School serves a diverse student population that is 70% free and reduced lunch, whose access to recreation centers is often limited. Being selected as a national fitness champion recognizes school leadership in keeping Everett students fit. Only three schools in Colorado of 12 nationally received this grant that allows for a state-of-the-art fitness center in the school's auxiliary gym. The award includes design, delivery, and installation of premium weight machines, free weights, and cardio equipment financed through public-private partnerships with companies like Coca-Cola, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield Foundation, and Nike. The fitness center will be open after school for use by the students as well as the broader school community. And this room is amazing. It is full of state-of-the-art fitness machines. We had the opportunity to watch students using them today, and they were so excited. One girl said to me, she said, "I am coming after school every day. This is so much fun." And so let's all give Everett a round of applause. Congratulations. Woo-hoo! I missed something. There is a page two here. I'm sorry. But Everett also received a grant to purchase 25 mountain bikes, helmets, repair gear, and a curriculum for students to explore over the next 2 years. So again, let's congratulate Everett.
You're welcome. Thank you for all your hard work. I believe, Ms. LaSalle, you are next on honors and recognition as well. In fact, she has all of them tonight.
I don't know how this happens. I feel so fortunate. I'm so proud of our schools. So the second school that is getting recognized tonight, which I am so honored to recognize, is Wheat Ridge High School STEM class. With the STEM instructors, Charles Sprague, Andy Yutzi, and Lance Austin, with the STEM students from Wheat Ridge High School, please come to the front of the boardroom. Yes, please. Thank you. I'd also like to invite current principal Josh Cooley and last year's principal Griff Worth to join us. And then we are going to watch a brief video prepared by the school on the accomplishment we are here to honor tonight. I do want to say a few things about your amazing accomplishments. Back in September of 2016, the STEM team began working on their hydrogen fuel cell car, partnering with students from the University of Colorado at Denver in preparation for the Shell Eco Marathon in Detroit, Michigan, April 27th in 2017. The team created the design, made molds, put in the electronics, and tested their car on an indoor track for their trial run. Over 100 teams competed this past spring, and Wheat Ridge earned first place in the prototype division, beating out not just high schools, but universities from the U.S. and Canada. This is the third time the team has competed at the Eco Marathon, and the second time they have taken top honors. They look forward to defending their title in California this year in the prototype division and entering the urban concept division. Please join me in congratulating this extraordinary STEM team on another impressive showing.
Good to see you, Andy. Congratulations. Job well done.
I hope you're not sick of my voice yet.
That means that Ms. LaSalle gets to do another honors and recognition here tonight.
With the Westwoods Elementary School robotics team members, their coaches, and their robot, please come to the front of the boardroom. Last year's robotics team included 4th, 5th, and 6th graders who designed, built, and programmed their robot named Bobby Charles to compete in the first LEGO League State Championship. Their high school mentor, Jolynn Holman, is currently a sophomore at Lakewood High School and also a robotics competitor. They competed against approximately 70 teams at Regis High School, and they took 2nd place as only one of 2 Colorado teams that received invitations to compete at the World Festival in Houston, Texas last April. They placed 65th out of 30,000. Additionally, the team worked on a 2nd project and submitted a patent for their invention that encourages ferrets to pull cables through conduit. Please join me in congratulating these young scientists and engineers for their impressive accomplishments over the past year. Boy, we are training tomorrow's engineers at an early age. I just have to make that comment. That concludes it. That does conclude our awards for today.
We'll move now to item 5 on our agenda, which is leadership reports. The board has used this portion of our agenda as needed to inform each other of any work we've completed on behalf of the board or the district. Tonight, we would like to begin with what is titled a 100-day report on the work of our new superintendent, Dr. Glass. Congratulations, Dr. Glass, on completing your first, I'm not sure it's quite 100 days, but I figure you'll clarify that for me, but I know it's very close. Congratulations, and we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Thank you, President Mitchell. Today is officially 94 days.
94.
Not that anybody's counting, but my 100th day will be next Wednesday, and so we don't have another board meeting between now and then. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to sort of catch you up on some of the work that I've been doing. And to let you know that next Wednesday, to coincide with that 100th day, we will be releasing a report to the community, and I'll talk some more about that. I entered Jeffco with an intentional plan, an entry plan, that was designed to build community outreach and relationships. And so I spent a lot of time in July and even into August doing that. Then there was a lot of context to learn about Jeffco. What are the things that are underway? What are the challenges that need to be managed right now? What are some key issues that needed to be handled so that we could successfully get school off the ground in August? And so met that commitment as well. We've had a successful start to the school year. Another aspect was in the design, creation, and submission of this forward-looking and positive vision document for the community's review and consideration. And so that is coming next week. I won't steal all my thunder in telling you all about it, but at the heart of it is quite a simple idea, and that is to put an emphasis as an organization on learning. And that's rightly where an education's emphasis should be. But particularly to put an emphasis on learning, like what you saw with the students that were here this evening, the students that were with the Wheat Ridge High School program that were designing something, solving real problems, using content expertise, science, technology, engineering, and math to design something, create something, and then compete. That's the kind of learning that's at the heart of this idea and what we hope to put forward into the community next week. All of this work has been completed, with the exception of the release of that document next week. I can tell you, Board, that this is the best professional work that I've ever done in my life. So I feel like I'm at the top of my capacity and top of my game, and so Jeffco is getting my very best effort in this past 100 days, and I'm proud to be your superintendent. I'm proud of the work that we've done this past 100 days, and I'm excited about where we're headed next.
Thank you, Mr. Glass. Board members, any comments about Dr. Glass's first 100 days? I'm gonna stick with that narrative, although we've owned up to, you know, it's almost 100 days. Board comments, please.
Well, I certainly would like to say I'm grateful for your outreach. You've been to so many organizations, service clubs, chambers, you name it, you've been to them, and creating that relationship is, I think, fundamental to building trust among the community that might not have anything to do with the schools, but has an investment in the schools, and I appreciate your taking your time and energy to get out into the community. You know, at some point, we're going to need to draw on that trust, and I appreciate your getting out there and getting it started.
Thank you.
I thought I would say something. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I want you to know I can see you live streaming, so I feel like I'm there. I wanted to just echo what Brad was saying and also state when I'm out in the community that all of the groups of people that you have met with feel that they have been motivated by your comments and your engagement. I'm seeing a lot of re-engagement, which I think is really important. And I think your quote was you had 400 meetings or met with 400 different groups of people in that short of time. So thank you for all of that work and getting it done so quickly to reach out to all the different groups, which is critically important to our communities.
I will say, Dr. Glass, that I particularly admire the fact that you've worked so hard and spent so many hours listening to all corners of the community, all levels of the community, many partners, and I appreciate that. Thank you for providing some opportunities for multilingual engagement recently. I also want to thank you that in many of those conversations, as you listen, you are keenly focused at asking questions that dig deeper and understanding better what it looks like to have professional expertise in our educators so that we have transformative learning opportunities for our students. And I appreciate that focus and am confident that it's going to move us in the right direction. So thank you for that work, and we're looking forward to the vision statement that will be coming our way.
I also want to echo what everyone else has said, but I want to say it as well. I went to as many of the listening tour whistle stops as I could. And it was so refreshing to have just a listening tour with no agenda, because all of our forums have always had an agenda, and it was just great to listen to everybody, and you really did a great job of listening to everybody, and Jeffco is huge. The relationships that you have been building out in the community, it is inspiring and motivating, and hopefully in the future, long-term, getting more people involved in the education of our students, because I truly believe in what you've been saying. This isn't just the public school system's job to educate our students. It is everybody's, and I feel like your engagement is motivating and inspiring people that don't even have kids in school to feel that way. I most appreciate your embracing the people that don't agree with you, and the people that might not agree with us, and trying to learn more so you can hear that perspective, because all of them, everyone's perspective is very important. And I've heard loud and clear, and I bet I've been to at least 20 meetings that you've been to so far, you trying to open those doors for everybody to be partners in education with us, and to me that's so important. Your work on the vision has been great, and I know you're just beginning. I know we're all just beginning. I think the focus has always been on students, and I applaud that from our great educators and great families who have always supported our education system. But I just like how you're repeating the same messages, and it is all about our students. And I'm just very inspired so far. Now, the real work begins, and I'm looking forward to the real work.
There is always the risk of being redundant when I try to follow my colleagues here, and this will be redundant, but I do want to say, when we were looking for a new superintendent, Dr. Glass, there were some things that were high on our list of things that the community gave us. They actually submitted to us information about what they thought we should be looking for in a new superintendent. One of those things was a highly effective communicator. And of course, all evidence suggests at this point, after 100 days, that you are very effective as a verbal communicator, as a written communicator, but perhaps more importantly, a very effective listener, and that's a strong part of communication. We said we wanted a visionary superintendent, and so I know that you're rolling out or just beginning to roll out this vision statement, and you sort of simplify it saying, well, we're going to make learning the center of our vision. Yes, that's not a novel idea, but it is visionary in that it has the potential to impact our organization in a significant way. And so I appreciate the fact that you're already working on a vision that's not greatly different from our past 2020 vision, but will reemphasize components of that that will greatly change our organization and perhaps teaching and learning. And then finally, the public told us they wanted someone who could build trust with all of our constituent groups. And, you know, the beginning of that process of building that trust truly is going out there, communicating with people and listening to them. And I think we've taken, as a district, giant strides, Jason, and I want to compliment you on that and thank you for it.
Thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate the feedback and affirmation that the work that I've been doing and we've been doing as all the staff at Jeffco Public Schools has been on the right track. I will just say that the document that's coming out really is intended as an invitation to a conversation. It's some of my perspective and review based on trying to understand and learn the context in Jeffco and where we've been. Understand some of the aspirations the community has going forward, and to try and build a vision around education that can reunify or bring a reunion to Jeffco between its community and its schools. So I will look forward to submitting that and then to hearing about which elements of that hit the mark and also hearing about what was missing or hearing about what needs to be adjusted. So I don't presume that I have all of that figured out, but I hope that we can start a conversation. And I think it will hit some of the right notes because it was built listening to Jeffco.
Thank you. We'll move now to item 5.02 on our agenda. This actually is a new item that we are going to add to our agenda fairly consistently. You will see it repeated as we continue to meet as a board. But we're going to call this a report from the superintendent. Now, I know we just did his 100-day what's he been up to kind of conversation, but this is a report on some other things, and we want this as a part of our agenda at each of our regular meetings. So, Dr. Glass.
Thank you. And just for context for the board, everyone here with us tonight, and all the millions watching at home, the superintendent report, I really try to just catch you up on some of the things that I've been doing since the last time that we were together, inform you on any sort of state, national, local issues that I think you need to be apprised of and made aware of, look ahead some about what's coming in the next couple of weeks. So that's the format for this. You do have, if you'll look quickly, I've been trying to give people some sneak peeks into what the vision document will look like, and so you may see some different graphics. graphics or images and some things like that. So if you pay attention, you may also pick up some hints about what you may see next Wednesday. So keeping the main thing. So you recall last time I was with you, we had sort of a graphic that I'd put together that looked, it's been described as the olive. And so we've tried to improve the olive some since that time. But rightly, we're putting learning at the center of our change efforts, and specifically intentional efforts to change the task that the student is engaged in to be authentic, meaningful, have currency outside and meaning outside of school, to solve real problems, to allow students a chance to practice not only content, but to critique, to synthesize, to adapt to changing situations, to be creative, to collaborate. These kinds of things that were present in the JEFCO 2020 vision. So we're sort of affirming that that was the right work, and we need to go deeper into that. All of this is built on a backbone of an intentionally designed content-based curriculum that's aligned to high standards. But when it comes to the experience of the student, that to me is where the rubber hits the road. And what is most important is that the students are having those meaningful experiences that lead to higher levels of engagement and greater passion for learning that carries on throughout their whole lives. So that's at the center. Wrapped around that are conditions for learning. So we know that learning doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in a context. And so how do we improve conditions for learning through such things as making sure that we have a curriculum that's aligned to high standards, that we have a professional, competent, quality educator that's present working with our students. So there's a couple of examples of conditions for learning. And then finally, readiness for learning. How do we get all of our kids to school ready to learn, prepared, and we remove barriers that may be in their way between them and learning on that day. So that's the big idea. So again, we keep the main thing, and that is the student experience, and that is learning. So just some school news and highlights, some things that have been going on. I attended the Student Leadership Conference at Dakota Ridge High School. There were a number of different high schools represented at that. I got to sit in on some sessions where students were learning how to give statements to the media, how to persevere through difficult situations. So I appreciated getting the chance to learn with the students and be part of that. I was at the Hutchinson Makerspace grand opening. So Hutchinson had an additional temporary building that they converted into a makerspace. So that's, again, going into that student experience and creating authentic opportunities for students to do things, in this case, design and solve problems. I attended the Minority Educator Advisory Committee meeting. We heard about some of the challenges that JEFCO historically has had in recruiting minority educators into the district and some strategies they suggested on improving that. We had a student voice town hall right here. We had about 500 JEFCO students that were here, and we had a roundtable discussion where I was in the center of the room and fielded questions from all across JEFCO, all kinds of different schools, option schools, charter schools, neighborhood schools, different levels of schools, middle school and high schools primarily. And they got to ask whatever questions they want, and I did my best to answer. And then I thought that they would be disinterested, but they were very interested. We ran out of time in their questions. So I told them to compile anything that they didn't get to, and I got 3 pages of additional questions from the students. It took me about 3 hours to respond to, but they were great. We met with the District Accountability Committee and went through a sneak peek of the vision, so a little more detail than what you got tonight and just some of the graphics that you're seeing. But got, again, some feedback from them on what things are hitting the mark, what things are off base, what's missing, what needs to be clarified. And so we keep using that information as we sort of release parts of this to test with the community. Are these indeed the right things, and shape that vision based on that feedback. I attended the Fletcher Miller Bike Day, which, wow, what an experience. So it's really an effort to make sure that every kid, regardless of what their background is or what their disability is, that they have a chance to ride a bike. And I'd encourage anybody to go to that, not just as an educator, but as a human being. It was amazing. I spoke at the Lakewood Area Staff Professional Learning Conference, and we talked a lot about, not should be no surprises coming here, we talked a lot about learning and student task and engagement and how we do that. So I began cabinet performance reviews, sort of the second phase of those. I like to do at least 3 of those a year with all the members of the cabinet, so we're starting our second round of those now after my sort of initial beginning conversations as I entered the district. Some other just updates. I spoke at the Healthy Schools Workshop, again, touching on the vision and where we might be headed, and they saw that through a lens of healthy schools and asked lots of questions around that. So it was an important perspective that that brought. I attended the Sophomore Career Fair over at the fairgrounds. Wow, what a great event that was. The only drawback I think that we had is that we were the kids wanted to go visit more job opportunities, and so they didn't feel like they had enough time, and so they were running around. But it was a lot of energy and a great event. I went with our Harvard resident Tom McDermott to Harvard to visit with his colleagues and other mentors that are in that Harvard EDLD resident program from around the country, and it was just a great. It was a whirlwind trip. It was about 24 hours that I was in Boston and then back to. And Jeffco, but it was a great chance to meet with education leaders from around the country, as well as some of the best education thinkers in the world that were assembled at Harvard as part of the program that Tom is in. I was with several of you, all of you, I think, at the Outdoor Education Lab School After Dark event. Wonderful night, and I think the preliminary estimates were they raised $140,000 for the Outdoor Lab School, so very proud of the work that is happening there. We started restarted our monthly board individual meeting, so I've been able to go out to lunch with or meet individually with you just to see what your perspectives are, and we talked about restarting those in beginning in October, and so we're following through on that. We had the all-leadership meeting earlier this week here. Again, talked about the vision document, got some feedback and questions and thinking from that group. So again, just getting that testing ideas and then making adjustments based on what we hear. I gave the keynote address at the Mickle-John Parent University, also talking about the sneak peek of the vision document, getting feedback from them. Spoke at the Charter School Consortium meeting, a group of parents and staff that were working at our charter schools last night. I had a wonderful conversation. It lasted about an hour and a half with them about charter schools and their place in Jeffco, and really ending on a note that we wish all of our schools to be successful, and there's no reason that they can't. Our goal should be that every single one of our schools is thriving and a great option for families. And I've had meetings with JCAA, JCEA, and JESPA over the past couple of weeks as well. Looking to the community, Diana and I finished our media tour where we went down and met with all of the television outlets in the Denver metro area, all the major television outlets as well as the major print outlets, and visited with them, and including Colorado Public Radio and our local markets such as the Wheat Ridge Gazette, Columbine Courier, the Arvada Press, the Mountain
Canyon Courier.
Thank you, the Canyon Courier. Thank you. So sorry. So I've met with a lot of them clearly, but we had great conversations and feedback around that. Had a chance to meet with the folks from. Serving Jeffco Kids and the Jeffco Schools Foundation and the work that they do around providing clothing to students that are in need. The Community Diversity Advisory Council met with those folks, and we talked about expanding their membership. Had a wonderful meeting with Ray Baker and Gold Crown, and wow, what an incredible philanthropist and support that Jeffco has with that. I hadn't met Ray before or seen what Gold Crown does, but what an asset that Jeffco has in that. Met with multilingual families to get their input and feedback on the sneak peek of the vision and where we may be headed as well. I met with leaders from the Church of Latter-day Saints. We had a wonderful lunch and conversation around their desire to be supportive of education and our desire to be supportive of the community and where our goals were aligned. And today we had a great conversation around the truancy process in Jeffco and how we might work to reduce the number of students that we refer to the courts as far as truancy issues. State and national news, not a lot happening on the national level, at least, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, so we'll take a pass on that for now. But I did have a chance to meet with Senators John and Senator Neville around a couple of different issues, and it's just wonderful to build those relationships with our legislators. We appreciate them deeply. I attended the Fall Superintendents Conference in Vail, a lot of conversation around funding and what we thought would happen around that, and a lot of it's speculation right now, but we'll start to see some elements of that drop over the next couple of months and get a better, clearer picture around what's going to happen with funding. I met with Dean, I'm sorry, I have a misspelling in there, Dean Liz Hindi from Metro State University, and about the partnerships that we have with Metro State. They have a number of students that are doing student teaching and residencies in JEFCO, and we want to make sure we continue that. We have a great number of teachers that actually apply for and end up working for us out of Metro State, so it's a really mutually beneficial relationship. We want to grow the quality and capacity of that program and then make sure we get our share of those great teachers. Then looking ahead, the Denver Area School Superintendents Consortium, breakfast meets tomorrow, so it's just a meeting of the Denver Area Superintendents to talk about common interests that we have. I also am going to the Solar Decathlon, where several of our students are competing out at DIA tomorrow. Saturday, we have the Second Wind Walk. I'll be giving a few remarks there and working to support that great organization around suicide prevention. October 11th, as I mentioned, the vision document will be released. Then also next week, I'll be meeting with the Public Education and Business Coalition board meeting. I'm a member of that board, looking forward to that. Be meeting with the Rose Community Foundation to talk about how we might partner with them to support expanding particularly early childhood education in JEFCO. Rose Community Foundation has a great interest in expanding systems around that, and so we'll be having that conversation with them. I'll be a panelist at an event that Denver A Plus Colorado is having around a book that's just been released called Reinventing America Schools, which really makes an argument that all schools should be given a great level of flexibility, autonomy, and then support to be successful. And so I'll be offering some reflections on that book and as well as some affirmations and some critiques as well. We'll be starting up JEFCO University. I think we have how many applicants now, Diane? 53 community members have signed up. We're going to send out another round in the upcoming Chalk Talk, so we may end up around 80 is kind of what we're expecting. We're going to try and take them all, but we have to really look at what's a manageable group size. We'd love to have all these folks be involved, but we want to make sure that there's a manageable enough group size that we can have conversations. And we'll be starting up podcasts. So I'll be inviting guests on a monthly basis to come and have a conversation with me about education and some other fun things at Warren Tech, and we'll be recording that and broadcasting. So we're moving into the online radio business as well. I'm sure we'll be picked up and syndicated in no time. So, and I want to always close with just an image of a student having a great experience. So here's a picture from the Fletcher Miller Bike Day, where you got a kid that's getting to ride a bike and it wasn't the first time for this kid, but he was excited about this day and looked forward to it. And this is something that school and those kids look forward to every year. So just wanted to share that with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Glass. We move now to report from board members. I know that all of us have been busy. I'm going to caution all of us, including Susan, Ms. Harmon, by saying we have attended a lot of events since just before school started and done a lot of things, but let's share what we need to here. Would anyone like to begin that?
Sure, I'll start. I'd like to highlight a couple of things. As Ron said, we've been to many places, but I want to applaud some of our schools and their efforts to really engage the community. I attended a pancake breakfast put on by Parr Elementary last week. They put out a couple thousand invitations to the community. A number of community members that don't otherwise have an association with our schools came in and just sort of took a look, saw what was going on in the schools, perhaps created a little bit of relationship. I think that, like the school visits and the community visits that we've been engaging in and Dr. Glass has been engaging in, these are opportunities to build relationship and build trust. And I wanted to applaud Parr. I know that same sort of thing is happening at Moore Middle School, where they host monthly dinners. And so if you're out in the community and you hear of opportunities like that, please accept the invitation, take advantage, and get into the schools. I think you'll be really pleased and proud of what's going on. I also want to highlight the Career Expo that Dr. Glass mentioned a moment ago. I hosted our Arvada president of the Arvada Chamber of Commerce Cammie Welsh came down and we explored the Career Expo as well. And I've had a number of conversations about getting the business community engaged in our discussion of alternative career pathways for many of our students. And one of the things she's been working on is having the business community do a thorough analysis so that they can tell us what the needs are in the near future and 10 years out. I think it's appropriate to have the business community engaged in that conversation so that we're preparing students for the jobs that are actually going to be there. So I think that that's another very good relationship and another good opportunity for us to engage outside of our schools. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, I will be brief with mine. Can you hear me?
Well done, Ms. Harmon.
Great. I had three really wonderful experiences with our middle schools and middle school communities since our last meeting. The first one, I spent time at Bradford, South and North, actually, with the principals Jean Lewis and Sam Palomaro, and really learning about their expeditionary learning that they have available for their middle school students, with the philosophy of learning that the students are learning best when they're actually involved in experiencing through real-world experience. They're partnering with communities to solve real-world problems with their middle schoolers, and it was really exciting to learn more about. I then spent time actually at Rooney Ranch Elementary for a community engagement presentation that was excellent by the principal from Dunstan Middle School, addressing the 6-8 move up. And there are about 100 parents there. And it was a wonderful opportunity for me to hear what the community is being offered in terms of additional exposure to the building, questions and answers, and an open house they're having actually in November. And then the question was asked, what else does the community want in terms of engagement, both with their students in the building and for their students in the building, and then for themselves as parents in the building, and opened up that opportunity for all of those to be added to the calendar by the principal, which was wonderful. There were great questions about choice enrollment and how can students choice into that middle school program, and really what counseling is going to be available. She did an analysis of the number of electives starting from sixth grade on, with having three electives for each semester, so twice a year, the opportunity to essentially have 18 elective opportunities to explore options and educational avenues prior to entering high school. So that was a great experience. And then finally, I just have to say, I went to Bell Middle School on an invitation from John Haverkorn, the American History and Civics teacher there, and worked with five classes of eighth grade STEM students, which was the most amazing experience. And he is an incredible teacher in terms of level of engagement. And what he was doing was he was taking the unit on the Bill of Rights from American history, as well as overlapping with the content that they're learning in their science curriculum, and had nine students act as judges and then assigned one of two cases to the remaining students to develop arguments dealing with the issue of science and technology, the issues that we are going to be experiencing and or are experiencing in terms of adjustments to due process, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment issues, and working with these students and the level of engagement was incredible. And just having a crossover to this legal convention that I'm attending now, attending a lecture on addressing how far the law is behind the technology that is occurring, and my ability to say to this incredible group of people, we have eighth graders in Jefferson County Schools addressing these exact issues right now, and the questions that those kids asked me, and was able to share that with these judges at this convention, that we are doing some really great work in our middle schools.
That's it. Thank you, Ms. Harmon. Thank you, Ms. Harmon.
Okay, I'll go next. I had the opportunity to attend the DAC night. That was just great. I got your sneak peek, and what I liked the best is they were breakout sessions with our DAC leaders, chairs, and principals. And it was just great to listen to the dialogue of these great thinkers who understand what it takes to be successful, not just in a building, but in a classroom. Equity and accessibility came up a lot, and it was just the conversations were just great surrounding that. I was able to listen to principals problem-solving, troubleshooting the vision last year, and I mean, it was the most powerful experience. I hope you continue to do more of that because those are the people that really understand what it takes to get things rolling in the schools, to make the vision the reality. And it was just really a great experience hearing all the dialogue. And everyone was very excited about the direction. I went to, with my son Charlie, we did the Golden Schools Foundation Golden Gallop a couple of Saturdays ago. Golden Schools Foundation does so much for our Golden City schools, and I just wanted to give a shout out to them right now because I'm just, they've really reached their arms around a lot of those schools and are doing a lot of great things for them. Today we went to the Great Ed Colorado Summit, and it was really, we got to listen to the Teacher of the Year speak and to some other great motivational speakers as well. Again, here's my common theme forever, I think, getting everybody engaged in the education of our students, not just one entity. And those types of meetings for me are just so motivating and inspiring because it takes everyone. It's everyone's responsibility and a great challenge. And so I went to the Everett Middle School Blue Ribbon cutting this morning, which was just amazing for those students. They were all so excited, and I look forward to going back there and working out with them. Holy cow, that is a state-of-the-art gym right now, better than any rec center gym I've seen. Go ahead.
I'll jump in and say yes, it was wonderful to be at the Outdoor Lab Foundation event. It was great to be at the Great Education Colorado Luncheon today to celebrate people who have worked tirelessly to work for adequate and equitable funding for our schools. I also wanted to give a big shout out to the Jeffco Boys and Girls Club that hosted a fundraising event recently. They do tireless work with students so that mentoring happens and lives are transformed, and had a wonderful time meeting Valeria, a student who is now a community college student working toward her goal of being an immigration lawyer, and she really inspired all of us to really support that program. I also got to start the school visits and want to say thank you to Lakewood High School, Creighton Middle School, Slater Elementary, and Denison Elementary. I heard a lot at the Lakewood High School visit about the good things that they're doing and the hunger that they have to do more. They're specifically keen on growing opportunities for their students to do internships and apprenticeships. And again, that's that opportunity to bring in partners in real-world education experiences. Thank you to Creighton Middle School. They have some great learning happening in the classroom, and they're extending those opportunities at the end of the day through partnerships with, for example, the Lakewood Rec Center and Police Department, as well as educators willing to give additional time. Got to see some of their brilliant musicians tonight. Want to give a shout out to some of the good things happening in Edgewater, a small community in Jeffco. They are getting ready to build a community center, and they had a groundbreaking for that. And Gold Crown, who's a phenomenal partner already, is extending some of their work into Edgewater as well. From the elementary schools I was able to visit, I want to give a huge congratulations and celebration to Slater Elementary. They've worked tirelessly to build professional collegiality that moves beyond congeniality, that moves beyond friendly conversations to expert pursuit of excellence. As a result of that, they have bumped out of priority improvement and are now an improvement school, and I'm so proud of their efforts to achieve that. And also a huge shout out to Denison Elementary. Congratulations to them. They are this year being acknowledged with a national blue ribbon school status, and that is not easy to come by. So congratulations, Denison.
Well, that took several things off of my list, but three or four are still here. I would like to come in on the start of our school year, and I had an opportunity to attend some back-to-school nights and visit a couple of schools. And I was actually astounded by the positive attitude, the enthusiasm that I saw in our schools, and sort of a whole sense that we are going someplace as a district, and our teachers and principals are proud to be a part of it. That's highly motivational to me, and it was exciting. Mr. Rupert and I attended a JESPA picnic, and I want to comment on this. These are our employees who work in the offices and food services and transportation and maintenance and all those things that are not directly necessarily related to the classroom. And I'm going to report for both of us because we talked about it. We just had a grand time having conversation with our employees in that organization. They are certainly first class and very impressive citizens, and we enjoyed ourselves there. I had an opportunity to go to a charter school open house with Mountain Phoenix, and it was interesting. It was in a person's backyard, but they had their whole staff and their board there, and it was a beginning of the year open house for them. My wife and I had a grand time with the Mountain Phoenix parents and staff. We talked our fool heads off, I suppose. And they told me one thing that was really important. They had been in here last year sometime, I think, for a renewal of contract. And we, one of us, had somehow managed to question, you know, their student achievement results, test scores, if you will. They weren't particularly high. And they said, you know, we're a Waldorf school. We teach our kids when we believe they are developmentally ready to learn. And, you know, I personally accepted that, but they told me on this night, you know, after our conversation in the boardroom, we have decided to crosswalk our Waldorf curriculum with the standards and see if there are places where we can strengthen our performance and improve our student achievement. Pretty incredible thing, I thought, that, you know, that was their response to just a couple of comments from here. And then over the last 2-3 weeks, I've had an opportunity to meet with every retiree group that represents Jefferson County. And those people are retired teachers, they are retired, I met with them, I met with the retired administrators, also met with a broader group that is just retired Jefferson County Public School employees. And in all cases, what I want you to know is that I felt I was meeting with people whose work built this great district, and I was proud to be there with them. But what was more important was that they were proud of the work that they had done on behalf of the students in Jefferson County, and that was a powerful thing for me to think about. So there are lots of other places we've been, but that's enough of this conversation. We'll move now to public comment part one, which is for comments related to items on tonight's business agenda. If you signed up to speak to the board on any other topic and cannot wait until part two of our public comment later in the meeting, you are welcome to submit your written statement tonight to Mrs. Neal, which she will share with the board, or you can write your comments to the board and we will send you a written response. Before we begin public comment, I would like to share with you the guidelines we've developed for addressing the Board of Education. We take up to 1 hour for part one. We won't need all of that tonight. Part two, we take another hour for comments that are not related to our agenda. The Board of Education listens with respect and asks those who address the board to do the same. Please remember to address your remarks to the Board of Education, not the audience or staff members. As we work respectfully with community members and staff, so too do we request speakers' demeanor and remarks to be in that same vein. Obviously, any resident, parent, or student who signs up to speak is entitled to address the board. We have only one person to signed up this evening to address the board under part one. At this time, I would like to invite Sarah Carrasco to please come forward to the microphone. And please share with us your name before we start your 3 minutes. We will allocate individual speakers always, or we try to allocate 3 minutes, and tonight we can afford that. He'd like you to go to the podium, Ms. Carrasco. I understand.
Okay, my name is Sarah Carrasco. I am the mother of a teenager with autism in the district. So what I am trying to clarify as a parent is who is making decisions for children with autism in the district. Is it the special ed department, or is it the board, or is it a hybrid of both? When I ask in meetings, whose decision was it not to implement programs for autism for middle and high school, I am consistently told it's the board, which is why I am here today. The issue with my school district is, well, one of the issues is the only law they seem to really follow is least restrictive environment. So they're putting kids with autism in their neighborhood schools with no training and no background in autism for the teachers. The administrators don't know the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, so therefore they don't know the law. And my concern is that that is systemic. If we are going to be making budgets and decisions for our kids, idea needs to be paramount. So I don't have time to get into too many of the laws that have been violated. Number one is that they have failed to provide adequate supplementary aids and services under IDEA section 300.320, a statement of the program modifications or supports for school personnel that will be provided to enable the child to be involved and make progress in general ed curriculum and participate in extracurricular activities. So without any autism programming or training, that is absolutely failing to happen. We did one, the school my son goes to did some type of training for autism, but after the training, his IEP science teacher was comparing people with autism to dogs in front of my son, so he doesn't want to go to that school anymore. So when I said, well, what schools can he go to, I was told he can go to Sobieski. Sobieski is absolutely not an appropriate placement for these kids. Maybe 1% of kids with autism would ever go there. It doesn't make any sense. And when I said, well, he can't go to his home school, and he's not going to Sobieski, where can he go? I guess I have to homeschool and miss work. They said, oh, okay, really? Well, now he's truant. So I took that as a threat and coercion, which is also illegal. Jeffco has also failed to adhere to statutes pertaining to transportation as a related service, section 300.156, which allows for paraprofessionals and assistants to be appropriately trained and supervised. My son has been left on a bus for 3 hours in December. He was dragged down the stairs by an aide last year, a bus driver's aide, who was not trained, and he has been fed foods he was allergic to. Well, some of his allergies are anaphylactic. That could be life-threatening. Number three pertains to a violation under the ADA regarding section 36.301. Jeffco is placing kids with autism at risk by not providing physical modifications to ensure that these students, basically the problem is that kids with autism tend to wander. And I have provided this many emails about wandering and autism and training, and they won't listen, so just real quick, I know my time's up. So if you go through the National Autism Association, you can buy a big red box for $35, and it is like this great kit for teachers and students, and you have a wandering plan for the year. So, again, this many emails. If you have, for example, 20 schools in the district who have kids with autism, we're looking at $700 to do all these trainings to ensure their safety. And if $700 is not available for that, I feel like that is a cultural and systemic issue where kids with disabilities are treated poorly, second-class citizens, and perceived as a nuisance. So I am here tonight to state publicly that there are multiple statutes under IDEA that are being violated, and I am willing to sit down and talk to you about resolutions, which so far has gotten me nothing in 11 years, but I am absolutely willing to do so. We need to implement training on autism and wandering because Lakewood has so many lakes that they're putting these kids next to ponds and swimming pools and lakes. And wandering is the leading cause of death for people with autism. 90% of those kids drown.
Ms. Carrasco,
yes.
I don't want to be rude to you in any
yeah,
way, but in fairness to everyone, we are well over time.
Right.
Could you please conclude your presentation?
Yes, for sure. So basically, I just want to say that one of the issues that's coming up often in the district is that if we have to pull our kids out of school, like my son's pediatrician said, get him out of there, this isn't safe. And I told them that, and then they said he was truant. My son is not truant. I'm a good mom. Like, there has never been a time in my life as a parent that anyone has ever questioned my parenting ability. This is the first time that's happened. And I actually train police departments on autism. So now I feel like I have to go talk to these police departments and explain, like, our kids are not truant. And I also hope that moving forward we can look at, like, simple fixes that are not very expensive. You know, I have every resource in the world at my disposal. I'm happy to share with you guys. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move now to item 7 on our agenda, which is our consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
I move that the items on the consent agenda be approved as presented.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda as presented. Discussion. Hearing none, roll call, please.
Ms. Harmon?
Yes.
Ms. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yes.
Mr. Rupert?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
As I am looking at our agenda, I'm estimating that we probably have another 45 minutes, perhaps, of work to do this evening. And so I am going to recommend that we take a brief break here, and that will give us some time to prepare for the ENDS discussion agenda related to physical and emotional well-being of students. We will reconvene in 10 minutes.